download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J Mornings with Zan.
It's actually me.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a beatboxing thing. It's me going like... And then we like filtered it and put it through lots of stuff and yeah.
How is it that I've never known before that you've been a beatboxer?
Yeah, there's lots about me people don't know. I've always been a very noisy person, as all my family will attest. So I'm always the guy walking around the house going, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like you should have had a career in hip-hop, or at least a concurrent career in hip-hop, at the same as this singer-songwriter thing you've been bashing out for 3 albums.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good MC too.
Well, it does spark, for me, listening to this record, a distinct shift in rhythm. For the first 6 or 7 songs, in fact, there's a pace to this record that really keeps pace, keeps in the same sort of rhythm. Can you tell me about that, and I guess having that kind of energy in this third album, Only Sparrows?
Yeah, well, I think it was born from touring with my live band for so many years and, you know, always mucking around with ideas at soundcheck and stuff like that. When I had the collection of songs and I'd finished writing them, I just felt like it needed a full band kind of sound with it. And having done the Basement Bird stuff as well, that was such a fun collaborative process. And I just wanted to keep on kind of rolling with that collaborative thing. So that was the main motivation.
Do you feel like you've entered new territory with this album?
I do. It's kind of hard for me to be objective about it now, having done it, but definitely when I was starting to record it, I was feeling like I was heading out into uncharted waters. But you know, it's always that funny thing, like, you know, once you've finished it and it all feels comfortable and you've done it and you feel happy with it, it's kind of like, oh, was that really that difficult? But it really was. At the start, it was quite a challenge. Yeah.
Was it just because you were trying new things, or was there something else that held you back from jumping in?
I actually had the biggest crisis of confidence that I've ever had in my life. For about a few months, I was just kind of going, I don't know if this is going to go down. I don't know if I can keep doing this, which was just awful. It was an awful feeling, because I've never really cared about whether or not the records would do well in the past. It was always about just, you know, I was stoked to have an opportunity to release a record. But now that this has become my thing, you know, my profession, I suddenly felt the pressure, and it was just ridiculous, and I had to kind of mentally get myself out of that state and remember that, you know, the reason I write songs is not to be famous or anything like that. It's just because that's what I do, and that's how I kind of figure my place out in the world. Once I got back to that, everything was back on track.
So you're able to shake off those fears?
I was. It took a while, and it actually was. I went to New York at the end of the writing process just for a few weeks to kind of finish writing and get my head, you know, back into check. Once I had that kind of space and time to reflect on what I was trying to do, I did feel a lot better. And also working with Wayne Connolly again, he was, you know, to use a MasterChef term, he was the hero of this record. Just like sometimes tomato can be the hero of a dish.
A MasterChef fan, Josh?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Wayne, because he's singled out on these liner notes of this record. You thank him particularly for getting you back on track.
Mm.
And he's someone that you've worked with over a number of years. How, though, with this time, did he really drive you to finish the record that you wanted to make?
Well, he just had that objective perspective on it, you know. I was so close to the songs, and also I had a pretty clear idea in my head of how I wanted the songs to be, but I couldn't really figure out how to execute that.
Mm.
And that's where he came in and kind of took care of that, and it allowed me to take a step back from that and kind of concentrate on doing what I do best, which is writing songs, you know.
20 past 7, steam still rising from your coffee cup. All I've ever wanted was everything. Never gonna get any better one way or another.
one of the trademark sounds of Josh Pyke over three records has been the multi-vocals, you know, the chorus of one. And on a couple of songs in particular, Coffee Cups and also Factory Fires, you drop it away and you've got just you, single Josh Pyke, more exposed and upfront. Tell us about that shift in terms of your delivery on the voice.
Yeah, well, actually, you're the first person that's brought that up, and that was one of the biggest things that I was consciously deciding to do, was to kind of strip that back, because in the past I've really, in some ways, hidden behind that double vocal thing. I love it, and it's always felt really comfortable for me, but it's, you know, nobody likes their own voice, you know, even singers, that it's their job to sing, you know. So I found it pretty confronting to just sing as myself, and a lot of those songs were just kind of like, we didn't do too many takes, it was just as it was. And it was just a conscious decision, because I think some of the songs have a bleakness to them and a starkness to them that needed a single voice, as opposed to, you know, the doubled and tripled, you know, and quadrupled vocals that I've done in the past.
I want to talk to you more about New York City, a place that you went at towards the end of your writing, you say, but distinctly went there because you needed to push forward and get some songs done, didn't you?
Mm.
Were you isolated there when you were writing?
I was. I sort of wasn't trying to be, because I have a lot of friends there, and when I went there, they all left and went elsewhere, which was kind of annoying. But I went there by myself, and I just rented an apartment in Greenwich Village, which had an awesome little open fireplace, and it was snowing outside and everything. So it was wicked, but it was kind of lonely. And it was the first time I'd been away from home after becoming a dad, so it was pretty hard. But, you know, having that time and space to really focus on what I was trying to do was the aim, and, you know, it totally fulfilled that.
Do you think it gave you a perspective, being that far away from home, being in a place where there was no one else around you, no family, no friends, gave you a perspective you wouldn't have had if you were home in Sydney?
I think so. I'm not sure if it was New York particularly, or if it would have been the same if I'd gone to a caravan on the Central Coast, you know. It probably wouldn't have been the same if I'd done that, but it does give you a perspective, because you're being completely self-absorbed when you're in that kind of environment. And so you have a lot of time to think about, you know, yourself, but also, you know, what you're trying to achieve for the future and how that's going to reflect for me in the songs that I was trying to write.
Is this where you recorded with Katie Steele? She's in New York at the moment.
Well, that's the ironic thing, because Katie was in New York the whole time I was there, and I did sort of know that, but I forgot the whole time that I was there. And I even did a demo of Punch in the Heart in New York, and I was thinking, oh, it'd be great to get Katie on this. And then got home and decided, you know, we were definitely going to approach Katie, and then remembered that she was in New York, and yeah. I could have done it with her there, but yeah, anyway, it's one of those things.